I run to you. I need your mercy and grace to see me through. So I'll run to you. You are
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to welcome every one of us that have found our way in here tonight. I had been dilly-dallying on having us on the platform, you know, and in fact, I had to tell myself that most of our meetings that have been on text, I'm going to begin to preach them into the platform so that you can always hear them anytime you want to hear them, rather than having to scroll up. And I'm sure some of us don't even scroll up after a text prayer. So I'm going to put all that here so you have the liberty to hear the messages and pray alongside and get blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, could you go ahead and give God some praise tonight? Give him praise tonight. He's a faithful God. Give him praise tonight. Give him praise tonight. Oh, thank you, Father. We give you praise, oh God. We thank you for your faithfulness. Yes, he's faithful. We thank you for your fatherhood. Yes, he's a father. We call him Abba Father. Go ahead and thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him for your life. Thank him for all that is associated with you. I'd like you to go ahead and just thank him tonight. Thank him tonight for how your day has been, how the week has been. Yes, how the week has been. Go ahead and give God praise tonight. Hallelujah. Makasoka to yara gadosho. Malege dege degara nonoso. Oh, we give you praise, oh God. We thank you for your ever faithfulness. We thank you for your love. Your love, it can be traded, can be negotiated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for what you have made us to be, who you have made us to be. Thank you, Father, for your comfort over our lives. Thank you for granting us the grace to be able to also comfort others with the comfort we have received. We give you praise tonight. Our Lord, tonight, speak to us. Hallelujah. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us as we grow up spiritually in your word. Speak to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We give you praise for your ever faithfulness. Hallelujah. Even when we are unfaithful, you remain faithful. Woo! What a Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You remain faithful. even when we are not yielding, you still father us. Hallelujah. You father us. You love us all the same. Thank you, Father, for always waiting for us to repent. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Oh, barikataya lagadosa. Thank you for accepting us in the beloved. Yes, we have been accepted. We have been forgiven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The enemy has no charge against us. Woo! Glory to God. We win. We win. We win in our minds. Oh, glory to God. We win in our spirit. We win. We win physically over all the plottings of the enemy. We win. Why? Because he is defeated forever. Oh, thank you, Father. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bible says that we were buried with him. Glory to God. It says that we were raised together with the Father. It says that we were lifted together. We sit together right now at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. The place of authority. That's where we are. We're lifted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! What a victorious life we have. Hallelujah. What a victorious life we have. What a supernatural life that we have. Oh, glory to God. What an ever-winning life we have attained. Oh, through receiving Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. Thank you, Father, for your love. Woo, hallelujah. Could you go ahead and talk in other tongues right now? Come on, go ahead, talk in other tongues in appreciation for who he is and what he has done, where we are concerned. Go ahead and talk in other tongues, in praise, in thanksgiving, in love. Oh, barakite yara masunte lebasa. Lako sokata yeleketuya ramasun prenosha. Lekozo ketia ante liba rakatia. Rododo, rododo, rababa, lemoro kasia. Leya rabasa. We give you praise, Jesus. Lekuto la makase keteya. Lende lekede kelenke akara okirigede seketaba mandele bo shikara gade sekira mata lamboko lambaki ekise ketelebro koso. We give you praise. We give you praise, oh God. Lie mashimba ragadosa kata. Oh, vele deise brada deise baradosa. Oh, wada kashikata. Come on, sing with me. We just wanna say, Baba, oh, Eshe, we just wanna say, hallelujah, Baba, oh, Eshe, that's why we came tonight, we just wanna say, Baba, oh, Emma Shea, we just wanna say hallelujah. Baba, oh, Eshe, Eshe, oh, come on, say Eshe, eh, eh, Oluwa Eshe Oluwa Eshe Oluwa Eshe Oluwa Emama Eshe Oluwa Eshe Oluwa Eshe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's go into tonight's ministration. I'd like us to read God's word. So please go get your Bibles. Yeah, I want to talk about spiritual growth tonight. It's something that has been pressed in my heart since last week. you know, and I was actually getting prepared for that topic for my Sunday teaching in church, but I just started feeling like, ah, you need to hear it. All right, we won't be able to finish tonight. That one is certain. But one thing is sure, you know, at least we will start and then we will keep building on it. It's still in line with training up a child in the way he should go. You know, the major reason why that topic came was because God actually wants us to be trained. And part of our training is basically empowering and strengthening our spiritual, you know, being. All right, we're growing our spiritual lives, you know, basically. So that's the growing up spiritually. So once again, I want to welcome you to this time out that we're going to be having together. And I need you to be alert, to be awake, and to be with me. All right, like I said, we will not be finishing tonight. It's a broad topic, you know, but wherever the Holy Ghost... whatever the Holy Ghost will have you receive tonight, I'd like you to go ahead and open up your heart to receive. All right, go ahead and say, I'm going to be impacted tonight. I'm going to be blessed tonight. And the word of God will do me good, like always. Yeah, it does us good all the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Now, I need to know something. Bible makes us understand that we were created and made in the image and in the likeness of God. So we can as well just read that, you know, as we start tonight. All right. So that's Genesis. All right. Genesis chapter 1. All right. We're created in that image and in that likeness of God. Bible says Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to take it from verse 26. And it says, then God said, let us make man in our image. All right, that's what Bible says there. It says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Bible says in 27, so God created man in his own image. I need to... you know, take note of that, those words. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. So male and female are being created in the image of God. The question that you and I should ask is that if I'm created in the image of God, does it not mean that all the attributes I have is what God has? That's a major question that you need to find out. You need to begin to think about. But one thing that is sure here is that you were created in his likeness. All right? That's what the word says there. It says, according to our likeness. All right? According to our likeness, let them have dominion. That's give them authority. But let's create them in our own image. All right? When you see a container, you know, standing anywhere, and then you see this shadow being cast, you know, when you see the shadow being cast, you'll be able to tell yourself, the shadow of this, I can recognize the shadow of this thing. Why? Because it's in the image of something. Are you listening to me? It says, I said that if you see something cast, you know, a shadow, the shadow that is cast will obviously take somewhat an image of that thing that is standing or that thing that is not far away from light that has decided has now casted the shadow. So you'll be able to, without seeing the object, you'll be able to see that image on the floor. Bible says here that let us make man in our image. A lot of times we read the beginning, but we don't give attention to some of these details that are in the Bible. And tonight I want us to look at it. If I can spend the whole night just on this verse 26 and 27. I can. Why? Because there's a lot that is in it. But I'm going to just take it gradually and then we would move. All right? We're moving. So this is one thing that I needed to know here, that we are in the image of God, just like it is written. But I'm now helping you see what it really means to really be in the image of God. Excuse me. You know, I'm helping you see that you represent God. Bible says likeness. The likeness there happens to be the attributes of God. God is saying, give them our attributes. So that when they see them, they would know that they will know me. Because I exist, all right? And this is who I am. But I need to create people that have my attributes, and that's you and I. So the likeness here is the attributes of God. God has put attributes of himself inside of you. So you are an image, you are the image. Image here is not body. Hallelujah. It's not the body. It's not the shape. Otherwise, if you and I are made in the image of God, that means somebody is fat. That means today God is fat. Tomorrow God is thin. Next tomorrow, do you understand what I'm talking about? That means the image is confusing. That's when if this interpretation is supposed to be bodily, you know, interpretation. But praise God, it's not body. It's not your body we're talking about. We're talking about God. Bible says God is spirit. And they that worship him, worship him how? In spirit and in truth. And God now says, I made man in my image. Hallelujah. Am I making sense to you at all? So that means that if you are made in the image of God, then that means that you are made like God. And then that means that the attributes of God, which is the likeness that we're looking at here, our likeness. All right, he says our likeness, and the next thing he says is let them have dominion. God has dominion. That's an example of the likeness. That's an example of the attributes. You have dominion. Hallelujah. The attributes of God are within you. So whether you know it today or not, whether you exemplify who you really are, because a lot of times, you know, people live below who they are. Yes. And that's happening to you and I. You and I are living below the capacity that we can. Have you noticed that if you get into trouble, the kind of things you can do, naturally, when there's no trouble, you will find yourself trying to do any of those things. Why? Because you don't even know that you have those capacity. If something is chasing you now, some of you will run like you've never run before in all of your life. So you'll be wondering, am I the one that run like that? You had the capacity all along, but you never exercised it. You never used it. So you didn't even know you had it. That's what I'm talking about tonight. There are some attributes on your inside. You have not exercised it. You don't even know you have it. But God says that I made you in my image. So if you live less than God's, you know, attributes in your life, you are the one shortchanging yourself. Because when you look at the Bible and you look at the men of the scriptures and you see what they have done, you begin to say, wow, I wish I can do it. You can. That's what God is saying. You can. Because those people you are admiring, they are in the image of God. You that you are admiring, you are in the image of God. So that means that what they can do, you also can do it. But you have not given attention to those things on your inside that should be developed so that you can do it. Hallelujah. I hope I'm shaking your table tonight. You know, because the truth is that until we wake up to know that you and I can lay our hands upon the sick and they will recover. And it is the truth, because see, whatever Bible says about you and I is true. So whatever God has said you will do, you can do it. He says that you will lay your hands upon the sick and they will recover. He didn't say that you will lay your hands upon the sick and they will recover next year. Or you will lay your hands upon the sick and you will just speak words. He says they will recover. So that means by the reason of you laying your hands upon any sick, you should expect nothing less than healing. Why? You are God on earth representing your Father and exemplifying those likeness through the authority that he has given you in dominion for healing. You can manifest healing upon your body, you can manifest healing upon another person. May I also move you further to let you know that you can lay your hands upon the dead and the dead can rise up again. I didn't say dead situation. I said a man or a woman that is dead. And see, listen, everything I'm talking about, the Holy Ghost can teach you. You can also be taught by someone also that already has those attributes on their inside. See, let me tell you something. Let's settle this thing tonight. If you see any creation of God that is man, that's man. If you see any man or any woman that can do some things that look like, this thing looks impossible, you can do it. And that tells you that that capacity that that person has, you also have it. And that tells you that it is possible. Whatever you see outside there that makes you feel, wow, it is possible with you too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is possible with you too. When I read the Bible and I see the multiplication of the bread, of the fish, all right, like Jesus did, Bible says that Jesus said that greater works will you do. Greater works will you do. So that means that, see, listen, when the Bible speaks the truth. These things are not said because they just want to be there. Jesus just wants to say it, and then they record that the inspired man just wants to write it. No, they were written so that they can shake our minds. They can help you see that this is who you are, that you are not. Because you are not giving attention to spiritual growth. You can multiply anything. Yeah, you can multiply money. You can multiply food. You can multiply connections. You can multiply anything. But you need to stay in the place of the Spirit. You need to allow the Spirit of God to speak through you. You need to. The attributes of God are inside of you. You are a powerful being. If only you know. Why is it that God from the very beginning, Bible says that he said and it was, he said and it was, he said and it, that's part of your attributes, sweetheart. This is part of your attributes that you say. And that's the reason why every time we pray, I keep telling you, I say things like, say these things, say these things, say these things. I'm saying those things and I'm saying you should say them, because I'm saying that the more you say these things, the more you begin to see yourself in the reality of that thing. You have to say it. And even if you say it in fear and you keep saying it and you keep saying it and you keep opening the scriptures and you keep looking at the scriptures and you keep seeing yourself in the light of what you are saying, after a while, your words will catch up with your heart. It will catch up. Because you are not changing that word of yours because you saw it in the Bible. It may look impossible, but once it is in the scripture, tell yourself it is possible. You might never have done it. You might never even have seen anybody around you physically. Maybe you just read it. You've never seen anybody do it physically around you. I'm saying to you, you need to look at the word of God and tell yourself if it is written there, then it's possible. It's possible. Whatever is written in the word of God is possible to every believer or every child of God. Sorry, or let me move further. Every creation, whether they are born again or they are not, it is possible to them. Why? Because the creator created every creation in his own image and in their own likeness. Now, a man that have refused to receive Jesus, does it is not less of that attribute. Did you hear what I said? He's not let of that attribute. Because every creation, listen, every creation, born again or not, they are created in that likeness. Every one of us have the, and that's the reason why when people are, when you see wicked men, when you see unbelievers, they are looking for power. Why? Because that's how God made every one of us. Every one of us are made in power. So you need to wake up to discover the power that you have so that you can use it. So as believers, it will be wrong that you are not waking up to know that God has given you dominion. Dominion is power. Dominion is power. The dominion is power. God has given you his attributes. What he can do, he now says you to do it. You too can create. And that's why we have we have light today. Because a scientist decided to sit down, crack his brain, discover it. And that's the reason why all of us are enjoying light today. Somebody sat down and decided to make a chair, you know, that we all can sit in. Otherwise, we'll be sitting on the floor. Somebody's brain is working. Those are power. Those are power. Bible says he giveth power to make wealth. It's power. God gives power. It's the power that is now converted that you can now use it to do so many things in your life. But it comes raw. The power of God comes raw upon every creation. It's the creation that now sits down, you know, and decides, okay, is it my soul compartment I want to increase in learning? Is it my spiritual compartment I want to increase in learning? Is it my bodily compartment that I want to increase in learning? And that takes me to the fact that every man is spirit. I said every man is spirit. God created you in his image. You are spirit. And you must build your spiritual life so that you can have total and consistent connection, because that's the only way God can reach you. God can reach you only through your spirit. He can't reach you through your body. So let me say it very well. God is a spirit. And he made his creations to have his spirit living inside of them. So what did he do? He made us with bodies so that we can live on planet Earth. Without a body, you are dead. And when you are dead, you become a spirit. And so you cannot exist on planet Earth. Even if you exist, we don't see you anymore. It is the body that you have that gives you access on Earth. Once that body is gone, then you don't have access anymore. So every creation of God has a body. But first of all, he is a spirit. He has a soul. What does his soul do? His soul can feel. His soul can be vexed. His soul can be emotional. His soul can be intelligent. That's what God did for us. He made us intelligent beings. And that's why a lot of God's creation, or all of God's creation, let me say that, is we are all brilliant if we are really ready to use our brains. So we have, so let's start again. God made you a spirit being, all right? Gave you a body and put the spirit inside of it, and then gave you a soul and put the soul inside of the body. So this is how we say it. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Hallelujah. Can you say that? I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Can you say that one more time? I said, I am a spirit. Listen, I am. You are not a body. I am a spirit. I am like my father, the spirit. He's a father of spirit. I am a spirit, a child of God. All right, so let's go again. I am a spirit. I have what? A soul. And I live in a body. Now, the most important compartment of your life is where? Your spirit. Did you hear what I said? Your spirit. So that means that you must develop your spirit. That's the most important compartment of your life. When you die today, your spirit lives. You are still alive. Spirits don't die. Did you hear what I said? I said spirits don't die. And that's the reason why here on earth, you must start developing that spirit. So that spirit can be in consistent relationship with your father. That's the only way your father can reach you. That's the only way Jesus can speak to you, through your spirit. So you must not develop your soul and your body. Make them greater. Make them massive. Make them expensive. Make them make them spend all the money that you have upon on top of them, but refuse to feed your spirit. Your spirit must not be the least thing that you are feeding. That's the reason why I'm coming to you every week. I'm coming to you every week because your spirit man has got to be alive unto God, not dead. It has to be alive to hear God. You must hear God. See, listen to me. The difference between life and death is hearing God. I said the difference between life and death is hearing God. When you hear God in every situation, that situation will either kill you or the situation will either, you know, give way. Why? Because you have heard from God. But when you don't have ears to hear from God, you will begin to move around in circles. That's why death has come. Because you are moving around in circles, you become confused. Before you know it, people run into depression and they end up in the hospitals. Death has come. It's a gradual process. Bible says that the enemy has come that he may steal, he may kill, and he may destroy. That's the reason why he came. So he will steal away the good things in your life. So let's use health, for instance. He takes away your health so that you can be sick, not you. So that whoever can be sick. And once whoever is sick, it's that a sickness is use another word for sickness. Sickness is like when they say death is number one. Sickness is number two, because most people die from sicknesses in our world today. When you hear somebody has cancer, some people don't even bother praying. They'll just say, hey, he's dying. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's what I'm saying. So sickness is like number two on the list after death. It's a close margin. There's nothing in between both of them. It's death, sickness. Because that's the major way a lot of people leave the earth. They leave the earth because they have heart attack. They leave the earth because they have one sickness in their bodies. They leave their head because, you know, so it is that body. You and I now sit down and we are now taking care of. When God says, let's read Bible. I want you to see things tonight. It will blow your mind. It will help you, you know, refocus. Because when you know what you ought to do and you're not doing it, you will put yourself in a lot of dangers. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, listen to that. It says, may your whole spirit, may your whole soul, and your body be preserved. What did it start with? It started with what? Spirit. It didn't say, may your whole body, may your whole soul. No, it started with, may your whole spirit. Why? Because that spirit has got to be educated. The way we educate our minds, we go to school, we learn things, we develop ourselves, we are the best at our place of work, you know, we go for trainings and all that. That's the same way we are supposed to do for the spirit. Your spirit should not be too fed, your soul, sorry, should not be too fed that your spirit is so small. All right? Your soul has got to be as educated and your spirit has got to be more educated than your soul. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed tonight? I'm going to be rounding up very soon. All right. It says here, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be blameless at the coming. Did you see that? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are here not for your soul and your body. You are here so that the three compartments of your life will be in place. Your body has got to be good because you're going to pick up your body again. Yes, you're going to pick up your body again, in case you don't know. So take care of your body. You're going to pick up that body again. When Jesus comes, you're going to pick up that body again. So you need to take care of your body. All right? Your soul, like I said, needs to be educated. All right? You educate yourself, become useful on the earth. Because on the earth, there's what you need to do to fit in. Just like your body is the ticket to the earth, your soul now must now fit into the social sector, the political sector, the this sector. And the reason why you are there is not so that you can be there to make money alone. You are there so that Jesus can be glorified. Hallelujah. So all of these learnings that we are learning, it must end in praise. In praise to the glory of the Father. You are not learning things because you just want to learn things. You are learning things because you are here on an assignment. And you need to be useful to the Father in the place of the assignment. And you need to be useful to the earth so that you can be relevant in the scheme of things. Hallelujah. Woo, I'm getting blessed tonight. Are you getting this? So you cannot develop your soul and spend so much money on exposure or everything, and then you won't forget your spirit. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. Your body is another place that we need to talk about. Let's read something about the body. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you getting blessed tonight? Oh, just give me a few minutes, please. Let me. Okay, 1 Peter. Mm-hmm. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read a particular translation to you. But before I do that, let's even read. All right. Look at 1 Peter 2. It says here, it says in verse 1, it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Who does this? Spirit, soul, and body. Which one does this one? Which one does this? Is it your spirit? Is it your soul? Is it your body? It's your body now. Through your mouth. All right. The malice keeping is your body. It's not your spirit that is doing that. It's your body. All right. And your soul together. You know. And then look at verse 22. It says, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word that you may do what? You may grow. You need to grow. So that all those things that we let the body do, we can grow away from them. Grow away from keeping malice. Some of us like to keep malice. You can keep malice, eh? Once somebody annoys you like this, that's the end of the discussion. You don't want to see the person. You don't want to talk to the person. You don't want to be around the person. You don't want anybody to talk to anybody, anyone around you to talk to that person. No. You cannot let your body rule you like this. When people offend, Bible says we should forgive. You can now forgive and stay away from the relationship. That's fine. It's just so that it can help your mind. So that's fine. But you should not now, you know, be now have put the person in your heart to the point that, you want the person to die. No, that one is not good. Are you getting what I'm saying? So malice keeping is not okay. You can't keep malice as a believer. You can't keep malice as a believer. You have to grow up. Bible says in verse 2, it says, desire the pure milk of the word. When you know the word of God, then there are some things that you will just drop. Not because you want to drop them, but because the word of God says you should drop them. And the word of God is your controller. The word of God controls you. So if the word of God controls you, you must give the word of God liberty in your life. Once you see, once you are doing something and you now read from scripture and God says, this is how we are supposed to live now. Stop doing what. Once you see it, the next thing that should come to your brain, your mind, is this. I will have to stop this thing. That's how a believer lives. Once you can see it from the word of God, change has come. Change has come. Let's look at the book of James. Abby, it's not me that wrote it now. It's the word of God. James chapter 1, look at it. I'm going to read from verse from 22. He says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Be doers of the things that you are seeing in the scriptures. You have to be the doers. You can't say, is this the way I feel? I will continue to do this. No. Once a believer sees in the word of God, don't keep malice. He must not keep malice. Once he sees it in the word of God, he must not cheat. He should not cheat. Once he sees it in the word of God, he must not be wicked. He will not be wicked. Once he sees it in the word of God, he must be obedient to the things of the Spirit. He must be obedient to the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go back to 1 Peter. All right. So this is important that we grow. We grow. You must not live in hypocrisy. You shouldn't be an hypocrite. You are not a true person. That's what hypocrisy means. You have two identity. No, you shouldn't live like that. The only identity you have should be the one in Christ Jesus as a believer. You can't have two lives. You have one. So that one life, you must treat it the way God wants you to treat it. You can't be living a double standard life. Hypocrisy. No. You cannot be envious of people. Rather, you thank God for them. You thank God for what they have. You thank God for those things that have made them be who they are. You can't be envious of people. It's a wrong life. It's a wrong thinking. Jealousy and all of those things, they are wrong thinking. Can't be jealous of people. All right? You can't be speaking evil of people. You want to spoil their image by all means. Just so that you can have your way. Maybe you work in an office and then you want your boss to like you. You now start saying things about people. And you know, and your boss, and those things, let me say something. Even if those things are true, let it not be that you are the one that will bring somebody else down. Simple. The only reason why you can or you should bring anybody down is when the person has also become a fraudulent person, deciding to, you know, live that life even after being corrected. At that point, Bible says that you should expose that evil. That's fine. At that point, you should expose the evil. Don't cover the evil. Because if you cover the evil, the person will continue doing that evil. And you are going to be you're going to be a major contributor to the life of that person because you allow the person to live like that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Woo! We need to end. I told you we won't be able to. But I know that, I trust that tonight, we have a foundation. All right. So your spirit has got to be developed. You cannot allow evil speaking, malice keeping, deceitfulness, hypocrisy, envy, jealousy, you know, all of those bad behaviors, you know, fornication, adultery, All those things, you should not allow them. Fornication is you're not married and you're sleeping around. Or better still, the word might not be sleeping around. You're sleeping with, you know, your spouse to be. Or better still, the relationship is ongoing. As long as there's no ring in your finger, you don't have a business with sex. Yes, you don't have a business with sex. The only reason why you should have sex is only when you have a finger, a ring on your finger. Once there's no ring on that finger and there's no parental consent, when you want to have sex, what you do is you take that man or that woman, that man takes that woman to their parents and they say, I want to marry her. Once your parents say, go and marry her, and you marry, you are free. You can do anything you want to do with the body of the other person. But without that covenant that is obvious to the eyes of everybody, because the covenant of marriage is not the ring. It's not the ring. It's not the Bible. It is the two hearts coming together and the words that they have put. And that's the reason why when people divorce, you just notice that the wife is not doing very well, 100%, and the woman, the husband too, is not doing very well. Yes, they have divorced. They are not. Their lives are not okay. Why? Because they spoke a word when they were about to get married. Those words are recorded in heaven. Hallelujah. So all these things that we play with, if I don't marry her again, I'm going to divorce her. There's nothing like that in the kingdom. Marriage is God ordained. It's not man ordained. So you can't get into God ordained thing and want to get out anyhow. No, I can go on and on tonight because some of these things that we're looking at, we have seen them too natural. We don't see the power behind it. There is power in marriage. There is power in two people that have given their words of covenant together. The word is enough. It's not even the contract or the paper. Anybody can tear that paper. Yes, you can tear the paper. If you do a court marriage, it has a lot of power because, I mean, you can take that paper, you know, against the man. And if the man is caught that he has not legally divorced the woman, the man will be spending some time in jail. Yeah, that's one of our laws in Nigeria. But a lot of women will not pick up their marriage certificates to go and to get an implementation where that law is concerned. But that's the law. Once the man leaves the woman and the man goes about to marry another woman, and that's law. Now tell me, what do you think God is doing with the words that both of them spoke to themselves? It's covenant. And the covenant cannot be easily broken. Why? Because God was the weakness of that marriage. It's not even all the weaknesses. All the weaknesses, will you go and call them back? No. But God is the weakness of that marriage. And that's the reason why so many things is in marriage. So, when we talk about marriage, we say, be careful. Be careful. Be careful who you want to marry. If you're in a relationship here with me tonight, be careful the person you are hanging out with. You need to know the person spiritually first. I know you are attracted. All of us are always attracted by what we see. But you need to move from what you see to what you don't see so that the Holy Ghost can help you. And that's the reason why your spirit is very important here. It's not with the seeing of the eyes that you marry. It's the connection of the heart that you use in marrying. Your heart must be developed to hear what God is saying concerning that partner you want to marry. Because once you sign that contract, you have signed either a wellness or you have signed a debt warrant. It's one of them be signed. So marriage is something that people must look into critically. And for you as a believer, you must look at it in the eyes, through the eyes of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll need to round off now. But I'm going to continue, you know, from here next week. If there's anything I want you to take home tonight, I want you to take home the fact that your spirit is the first thing the Lord created. When God created you, He created you in His image and in His likeness. He created you in His own form, in His own attributes, and He puts inside of your spirit His own spirit. So God created your spirit first. After He created your spirit, then He created your body and put your soul in it. So if you die today, your body goes down. Your spirit is alive. So now listen to me. Before you came on planet Earth, your spirit. Now you are dying. Your spirit. So who should you take care of? Your spirit, child of God. Take care of your spirit. Take care of your spirit. Let spiritual things matter to you more than physical things. I'm ending tonight, and I want to believe that you were truly blessed by the words that have been spoken. I want you to take care of your spirit. I want you to pray. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to develop yourself. I want you to go to church. I want you to hear from the Spirit of God. I want you to create time for worship. On my Instagram page, I'm still going to announce it again tonight. I want you to go to my Instagram page. There are different things you can hear that would help your spiritual life to grow. You know, your prayer life especially. It will help you. All right. This group is not only for you to pray. It's also for you to be developed. It's called a developmental platform. I want you to grow. I want you to be the best that you can be. Hallelujah. I love you guys so much. And I want you to know that your life cannot be the same way again the moment you take hold of the inheritances that you have in Christ Jesus. All right? Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the words that have been spoken. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you, more than what I have said, you use those words, you know, to convince your children. You speak those words to their spirit. You help them, you know, get stronger and better in the wisdom of your words, in the skillfulness of your words. Lord, I pray tonight that the spirit of everyone represented here is alive and active to you in the name of Jesus. Alive and active in the name of Jesus. Oh, that they hear the voice of the spirit, that they are led by the voice of the spirit, that they know what to do per time and per season, but they make right decisions by the help of the Holy Ghost, that as they speak the words of the spirit, Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus, that their lives will take the shape and the form. Oh, marakateya da gadosa ante yegedosa and also of the things that you have prepared for every one of us in the name of Jesus. I declare from tonight that their eyes are opened to the things of the spirit, open to know what to do and open to know how to do what to do, open to the things of what you have called them into in the name of Jesus. We are created in your image, in your likeness. There's what you have in mind when you created us. I declare that those things are revealed to everyone here tonight in the name of Jesus. You won't remain the same again. This year is ending well for you. I speak concerning the year. I declare that it will be crowned for you. Every month to the end of this year is crowned with goodness, is crowned with mercy, is crowned with prosperity, is crowned with healing, is crowned with the discovery of God, is crowned with the best that you have not gotten from the beginning of this year up until now. I declare that every day is a new day for you. Every day is a new day with testimonies. Every day you expand, you grow. All glory to God. Every day throughout this year, you make progress in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You make tremendous progress in the name of Jesus. You make progress that is seeable to a partner, progress that is seeable to another. I declare that every of your step is ordered by the Lord in the name of Jesus. It's a new year. Hallelujah. It's a new year for you. It's a new year for you in the name of Jesus. I love you guys, and I know that you won't truly never remain the same again. We're moving higher. We're expanding. Things are happening for us. This year, we end it in a grand style. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our spirit is alive and open unto the Father. We hear the voice of the Father. in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining me here tonight. I believe that the words that you have heard tonight sharpens you, helps you, and help you renew your mind to see that your spirit is more important than any other part of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. I'll see you again. All right? Bye, dearie. Bye, everyone. Bye. So I